Come on, why don't we just lift up the name of Jesus right now? Come on, somebody just tell him how much you love him. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you. Oh, hallelujah. How beautiful he is. How great he is. God, we love you, Jesus. My God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. I like what I feel in the Holy Ghost here today. Amen. I believe that God, amen, has come to give somebody, amen, your miracle. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that God has come to strengthen somebody that is weak. I believe that God has come to minister directly to your need in this house today. My God, I like what I feel in the Holy Ghost. My God, Lord, we just want to bless your holy, holy name, God, because you alone are worthy, God, of grace and mercy, power. Hallelujah. My, my, my. What a beautiful anointing that is moving in the house. Church, I don't want us to ever get to the point that we take it for granted. That God's anointing and God's spirit will always be here. Amen. We need to take advantage of it when God is moving in our midst. Woo, hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus again. Amen. I love you. I love you. Amen.
I love you. I love you.
Oh, yes.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
Oh, yes, I do.
I love you. I love you. I love you. And my heart will follow wholly after you. I love you, and my heart will follow wholly after you.
Ooh, sometimes we just don't know what else to say. If I can describe everything that he is to me, amen, it'd take me all day to try to describe him. But sometimes all he wants to hear, amen, is those words from our depths of our heart is, I love you, Jesus.
Yes, that's right.
My God, I love you, Jesus. My, 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 I like it. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you got your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Amen. Is it all right if we just go ahead and minister what the Lord, amen, has birthed into my spirit? Amen. I believe if the church would understand how important it is to get to the house of God with an expectancy. Amen. That God is going to do something. God is going to minister to my need. Amen. I'm telling you, when we get to that point, amen, God's going to bless and God's going to move. Amen. Romans chapter number 8, we're going to read verse number 19. Then we're going to skip and read 24, 25, and 26. Amen. I just want to share this with you. Amen. Praise God. I like Sister Sydney getting excited already. Amen. I wish everybody would get excited like Sister Sydney. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse number 19 of Romans chapter 8. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right, let me read it again because we ain't got it yet because some of y'all still looking like, okay, what does this mean? For the earnest expectation, that means you got to come earnestly expecting it to happen, right? Of the creatures waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for an outpour of God's anointing. Now skip down to verse number 24. It says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? Verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That's lacking sometimes in the church, being patient. Don't pray for it. But it's very important for the church to understand. Amen. God don't move on your time. He moves in his time. My God, I like what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Wow. When you take an Advil pill, they say it's going to last for how long? 12 hours, 24 hours, 8 hours. Amen. But you have to wait for it to kick in. Why is it so hard for the church to wait for the manifestation of God's power? We don't mind waiting because the Advil bottle says it's only going to it's going to give it about 4 hours. It's going to kick in. It's going to work. Okay, well, I took it at 8, so about 12, it's going to be okay. I'm going to start feeling better. You know, really what they're really doing is they're creating faith in you. Because they know by 12 o'clock you're going to say, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's really not as bad as it was. Medicine's really working. I want to tell you about the real deal today. My God, we need to learn how to wait upon the Lord, my God. Let me finish reading it. Amen. I'm getting all messed up. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Let's ask God to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so blessed and so honored, God, that you are here in our midst, God. And we can't do anything, God, without you. And God, we need your anointing. We need your power. We need your Spirit, God, to flow in this house. God, you already told me, God, that people is going to be healed today. God, that people is going to get delivered today. And God, there's going to be some people, God, that's going to get their answers, God, they've been looking for today. And God, I believe that, God, and I receive that. God, and I accept that, God, right now. Hallelujah. If I can get some witnesses in the house right now, why don't you lift up your voices and begin to let God know how awesome he is. God, I want to thank you, God, for doing that, God, in advance. God, I know it ain't done yet, but God, it's about to happen. And God, I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Oh, can somebody shout hallelujah like you mean it? Hallelujah. All right. High five your neighbor and you can be seated. In Jesus' name. My. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach to you for a little while on the subject. Amen. What is your level of expectation? Somebody look over at your neighbor and says, what is your level of expectation? To a certain degree, we expect God to be at church when we get here. Amen. Oh, well, you know, it's his church, so, you know, he better be there, you know. You know, God is faithful, okay? God is always going to be here. Amen. But it's up to us to come from home with an expectation of God doing something miraculous in our lives. You must first believe it before you ever leave home. Before God will ever see it manifestation of it right here in the church house. Amen. I remember, Brother Johnny, several years ago, amen, when I was seeking for the Holy Ghost, I made up my mind, amen, on this one particular night, amen, that I was going to church and I wasn't going to leave there until God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Guess what happened? I didn't have to toil all night. Amen, I done made up my mind before I ever left home, amen, with an expectation that God was going to give me the Holy Ghost. And guess what? I received the Holy Ghost that night. How beautiful, how awesome it is. Amen. But church, don't never forget, amen, how you must have an expectation when you come to church. If you, well, let me say this. You're going to have a negative expectation or you're going to have a positive expectation. The negative part, if we're not careful, the devil works on that every day. Well, it's just going to be the same old church. Ain't Brother Jesse going to preach the same old message? He ain't going to, he may preach over 30 minutes. We're going to get to go home. We get to go out and eat together. We get to fellowship and we got all that. Oh, we got an expectancy. You know, that all this stuff is going to be the same. Amen. It cuts all negative. But if you come with an expectancy, because God is moved on by your faith. And if your faith has already been activated before you ever get here in his presence, God says, okay, now I'm going to grant what you asked for. What is your expectancy level? You can have this much expectancy, you can have that much expectancy, or you can have sky's the limit expectation of God doing something in your life. Can I get a witness right now? Somebody give God some praise. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 1 and verse 20 and 21 says it like this. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I'm going to tell you right now, whether I'm dying or whether I'm living, amen, I'm going to give God what's his. Did you know you're going to die one day?
Oh, y'all getting a little nervous now.
I hope it ain't today. Amen. But to live, let me go ahead and read 21 so you get it. Amen. It says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How in the world could a writer sit there inspired by the Holy Ghost write this? For to me to live is Christ. I'm living in Christ Jesus. But to die, it is gain. The whole thing I've been preaching about, the whole thing the preachers all through your life has been telling you about, amen, can't come to fruition until you die. You can't go to heaven and be alive. Your flesh can't contain it. Your flesh ain't going to do it. Only your spirit will make it. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. But what is your expectancy level? What in the world are you expecting God to do today? If you come for God expecting God to do something supernatural for you today, you can count on it. God's going to do it for you. According to your faith, so be it. Now, I'm going to give you some examples because everybody likes to be proven. Amen. What the preacher is saying is true. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. We'll just read it so that way we can get it, okay? As soon as my, and he's going to do it real quick because look at that. Man, he's good. I didn't give him this before there, or he would already had it. He says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Would you just be quiet, boy? Don't you interrupt him. Don't you know who he is? Yes, I do. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I want you to notice what happens next. If this ain't expectancy, I don't know what it is. And he casting away his beggar's garment, rose and came to Jesus. Oh my God. Some of y'all are going to get it right here in just a minute. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Wait a minute. Back in those days, they wore beggar's garments. He meant, so that way everybody would know there's some kind of ailment, there's an issue, there's a problem. He meant, so he casting it away, getting to, with an expectancy, I ain't going to need this now. I done got his attention. So he gets up there and says, what should I do? God says, okay, what can I do for you? He said that the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Guess what happened? He left blind. Man, he left the same way he came in. No, he didn't. You know why? He meant it had to do with an expectancy. He meant, I know the people told me to hush and be quiet. He meant, church, I believe we've been too quiet too long in the church. He meant, we need to get fanatical and get a little noisy. He meant, and let the devil know, you're not going to get this church. You're not going to get this kingdom. He meant, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Casting away his garment, he received his sight. He gave heed expecting God to do this. And guess what? God did. How many of you have that expectancy today? He meant that before you left home, I'm not even going to take the Advil. I'm not taking Tylenol. I'm getting to the house of God. I'm expecting God to touch me. Amen? Can I get a witness? Anybody remember Acts chapter 2? Anybody remember that story in there? You know, Acts is full of action. So Acts chapter 2, amen, he begins to explain to them, or Acts chapter 1, he told them, he said, look, I just want you to understand this. He said, now I want you to go and be tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So 5,000 people got instructed to get there, but only 120 made it in the upper room. You may tell you the problem was, what the problem was? Some people got sidetracked. And right now, if I would get a couple of guys and one over here just jumping up and down doing the thing, amen, doing over here, and if I get another one over here jumping up and down, it'd be hard for you to get your mind focused, right? Because you get distracted so easy. This one's moving, this one's jumping, amen. That's the same way the devil likes to do with our minds. Oh, you remember what you got to do tomorrow? You know, you got to do all this tomorrow, and you get your mind all sidetracked. But if you come with an expectancy, the devil has no authority to get you sidetracked, okay? Because you done made up your mind before you left home. I'm going to church for this reason. I'm not just coming to patty cake. I'm not just coming, amen, to lift my hands or leap for joy. I'm coming to get whatever God, amen, has in store for me. Whatever your healing is, whatever your deliverance is, God is going to do that for you because you're coming expecting it. Acts chapter 2. This is when it began to happen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Everybody knows the story. Y'all can probably quote it. Y'all want to quote it? Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, if not, you can read it. He met with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rush of wind. Why in the world did that happen? Because there's 120 people, he meant, that listened to the voice of God. It has never been poured out before. The Spirit of God has never been infilled anybody before. Amen. But God go ahead and instructed them because these were people that watched Jesus. Amen. Walked throughout his life, touching blinded eyes, raising up the lame, and they started walking, opened up deaf ears, and they started hearing. Amen. They seen God do this firsthand, and they said, you know what? Amen. God's going to give us that same power. And so they got there in the upper room. They went there expecting it. And when everybody's minds was right, and the Spirit was started moving, God started filling them with the Holy Ghost. This same Holy Ghost that they got filled with, amen, back on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost that is moving in your spirit right now, moving in your soul. That's the reason you got to come with an expectancy of God doing something. Man, and you know what? On the flip side, on the negative side, well, I guess we're just going to go and have church. Yeah, let me just go because I don't want Brother Chester to preach on me Wednesday or Sunday, next Sunday. I just go to church. Okay, you come. Okay, that's great that you're here. That's awesome. I commend you. Thank you for doing that, taking time out of your busy schedule for whatever reason. But why in the world would we want to just spin our wheels and spend our time just coming to church? I mean, I can do that at home. Can I be honest with you? I can just sit at home, sit in my recliner. I can lean back in it, and man, I can just meditate. Yeah, man, God, you're awesome. God, you're great. Yeah. So Chester can sing a couple songs for me at home. Yeah. She's an awesome singer. I'm telling you, she's great. She's anointed. Amen. I like that. My little son, Gabriel, man, he can read the Bible, man. We read it last night. I read a scripture. So Chester read a scripture, and Gabriel read a scripture. Amen. We read a whole chapter. Amen. That was awesome. Amen. That was great. Man, I can do that at home. Amen. But there's something about coming together with God's people. There's something about it, man, that iron sharpeneth iron. That means when you get up and testify what God did for you, it encourages me. It strengthens me. That's the reason it's very important when we come to church to have an expectancy that God is going to do something great and mighty in our lives. You don't have to live the way you are. You can come with an expectancy that God's going to do it, and God will heal you, God will deliver you, and God will set you free. Can I get a witness right now? Somebody give him some praise. And so we find on the day of Pentecost, amen, the power of God began to outpour. Notice what happens when we come with expectancy and get what we need in the house of God. Everything around us begin to change. When you go to work, your outlook on work changes. Okay? You don't dread it anymore. They came out of the upper room. They were staggering because they were still drunk in the spirit. Some of them started speaking up and said, "Oh, my goodness, they drunk. Oh, man, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. What do you mean they're drunk?" Amen. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel a long time ago, that this was going to be an outpouring of God's Spirit. And now, guess what happens? People started getting curious. They started to get a little nosy. Well, you know, I'm noticing I don't smell nothing on them. They don't smell like alcohol, man. They started getting up there and they started rubbing shoulders with them. And all of a sudden, guess what happened? The biggest revival started breaking out that has ever been spoken and ever been told. Amen. Because they baptized 3,000 souls that day in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Church, it's something about it. When we come and get what God has for us, when we leave here, people around us begin to change because of our expectancy level. What is your expectancy level? What is your level of expectancy? What is it? Amen. Is it here? Amen. Is it here? Or is it just off the charts? Amen. Church, I want you to go and understand how important it is when we come to church. Amen. We're not just renting this building, amen, just to come here and fellowship. We're renting this building to come here, amen, so that we can see a massive move of the Holy Ghost begin to transpire. Amen. Where drunkards can come in and get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Drug addicts can be instantly delivered. Amen. Where all the prostitutes can come in and have a safe place to come to worship and praise God and be delivered. This is what it's all about when we come here. We're not here just to survive. Amen. We are here, amen, to minister to our city. We are here to minister to those that are around us. Amen. But what is your level of expectancy? This is one thing that I can't do for you. I can teach you how to pray, but I can't make you pray. I can show you how to study the Word of God, but I can't make you. I can't make you come to church and let you know how important it is to be faithful. I can show you, but I can't do it for you. I can't even worship for you. I can show you how to raise your hands and lift up your voice and let your spirit begin to speak to God. And I can show you that, but I can't do it for you. There's got to be an expectancy level within yourself. I can't save you if you don't want to be saved. You ever try to save a drowning man that don't want to be saved? Try it one time. You watch him. He'll pull you under. Amen. You can't save everybody. I wish I could. Because everybody out here that I come in contact with, I don't want to see them die and go to hell. Especially those that are coming into under this roof. Amen. Under this covering of my anointing. Amen. I don't want to see you die and go to hell. But I will tell you, it's up to you. Amen. To step out and go to the next level. Amen. I can't make you. I can't force you. But I can show you. Amen. It's very important that we come and worship and create an atmosphere where people can be delivered. Can I get a witness right now? Somebody give him praise. Sometimes I feel, and I feel this in my spirit, okay? Sometimes I feel that they say that Brother Chester is kind of weak and he's low, and he lets anything slide in church. And it's not the fact of that. It's a fact that I want people to come to church and get it for themselves. I can tell you how to dress, but it ain't going to make a bit of difference if you don't do it. I can tell you how to respond or how to react. Amen. But it's up to you to do it. I can't force you to do it. I want to preach the word of God with his anointing, with his glory, with his power. Amen. And let it speak to you. My God, I wish somebody would get this. Amen. What is your level of expectancy? When you come to church, amen, I hope you ain't just coming to pat a cake and just get by. Amen. Just survive. Amen. Church, we done been trying to survive long enough. We just need to get in here and just get everything that God has for us. Amen. Because I come expecting God to do something supernatural in this place today. I'm not just coming here just to get by. I'm coming here, amen, because I love my God. And I come to worship him and praise him with everything I have in my soul. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15, we find the story, amen, of a woman's daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. She came where Jesus was. Brother Allen, if you don't mind, pull that up. Matthew chapter 15, verse 26. I want to read this to you because I want you to understand how important it is. This woman's daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Sometimes God uses other people to get your attention, to get your expectancy level different. It's one thing about me, I can deal with it. But when he starts messing with that beautiful woman and that young man right there, even there's something that gets a hold of me. You can talk about me all you want to, but if I hear anything about that, me and you're going to have a little talk. All right? Oh, you talk about this church. You want to see fire come out of the pastor. Amen. Usually I'm talking about any of you. They always do it behind my back. They won't do it in my face. Because they know. Amen. Because I point them blank and I tell them, you liar. You're going to go die and go to hell if you don't repent. Amen. I don't care if it is a negative thing. Amen. Church, I want to tell you, but this woman, amen, was very desperate because her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. She went to God, but God did not answer her the first time. But when he answered her, this is what he said. But he said, and he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. In other words, you're not a Jew. I'm not here to save you. I'm not here to heal you. Verse number 27. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now there's faith starting to kick in. Because she's going to where Jesus is and she says, now I'm here. I'm expecting God to heal my daughter. All right, let's go to verse 28 and see what happens. Then Jesus answered and said, now remember, he didn't answer her first. Then when he did, he tried to do, nah, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not here to heal you or to do this. But this is what Jesus said next. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She says, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm going to get my blessing. I'm going to get my deliverance. I'm going to get my healing. I don't care what your need is. You need to have an expectancy before you ever leave home. I'm coming to church, and I'm not just going to patty cake today. I'm in desperate need of a miracle in my life. I need my head healed. Amen. I got a headache. My knee hurts. I got back pain. I got this problem. I got this issue. But God, when I get to your house, I come expecting you to heal me. I come expecting you to deliver me. I wish I could get a witness today. Amen. That somebody's expectancy level is getting higher and higher, that God is coming to deliver you and set you free. I want the musicians to come, and I'm going to try to bring this to a close. In the book of Acts, chapter number 3. Remember, Acts chapter 2 is when the power got poured out. And they did some amazing things. They did some great things. Right? They come out of the upper room, man, and God started doing this stuff. I want you to notice this. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together
and to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's wounds, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. There's some people that loves to take advantage of the good nature of the church. The good heart of the church.
That's right.
We're here to help. We're not here to degrade, or we're not here to push down, but the church is here to help. They understand that when people are in need, they know that. So they laid him at the gate called Beautiful. And number three, it says, who's seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. Wow. He said, look on us. Verse number five, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This was a man that was carried there daily, laying at the gate, called Beautiful. He couldn't get into the temple because nobody would carry him in there. But he sat right there at the gate, asking alms of anybody that went in, rattling his cup with pennies or nickels or dimes. Could you help me, sir? I wished I was able to get out and work, but unfortunately my legs will not allow me, but could you help me? Peter said, look on us. I love this. The man gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold. Now, I want you to notice, this would have never happened if this guy didn't have an expectancy of receiving something. It didn't say just money, but he gave heed expecting, because Peter said, look on us. Look at us. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Notice the church. When you feel like you can't make that first step by yourself, notice what the church did. And number seven, it says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And the Bible says, 3 days later, that man started walking. No, it said, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Church, it's amazing what happens when you come with an expectancy. It's amazing how God can transform your life if you come expecting Him to do it. My God, I want us to stand to our feet this afternoon. My God, I feel something about to break loose in this house right now. Woo. I believe somebody's expectancy is already starting to be moved on right now. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, I want you to just step out wherever you are. If you want to step in the middle aisle, down the front. Amen. I want everybody that will, I want you to come. If you got an expectancy that God is going to do something in your life right now. Come on, God's going to do it. I believe it. I come to proclaim it. Come on, it ain't going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen next week. God is already going to do it right now. Immediately. Woo. My God. Woo. Yeah. Jesus. My God. Woo. Come on. Come on. There's an expectancy right now. Come on. Come on. Somebody's expecting God to do something.